The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Today we're continuing our study called Text. We started this 4 weeks ago, and if you've missed any of the series, I really want to encourage you to go to the website, to download the podcast, to stream, however you listen to audio messages online, do it, because we've covered so much material over the last month that is good for us to know. That video pointed out that, you know, oftentimes we may be that Christian involved in a conversation and hard questions will come about, you know, how does the Bible make sense with this and this? And it seems to contradict itself. And if we don't know, we won't be able to be the instrument God wants us to be. And so the encouragement over this past month has been for us to really get into the Word of God, but more importantly, let the Word of God get into us. And we've got to realize that it's the most important thing in our life as people, not even as Christians. God made us, and this is His word to us. And we've got to come to a place of realizing its importance in our life. And so I want to ask that you join me as we pray real quick and ask God to reveal what He wants us to learn this morning together. Let's pray. God, first of all, I'm going to pause. I want to interrupt our prayer for a minute to pray for somebody. You can look up. I paused the prayer. It's all right. Awesome. Are you here, in here? Can you and your wife come on up? How many of you have, what's your last name, Awesome? Albert? Oh, the same as your brother. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. And Marie? Maria, okay. Awesome. How many of you have met Awesome and Maria? They have recently come here from Pakistan and have really left there because of the unrest and the persecution going on in their neighborhood. And they are now living with their brother, Albert. Is Albert here? And Heather? They're teaching a class this morning. I remembered I wanted to pray over them this morning. They're asking God just to show them next steps. They left everything that they knew in Pakistan to come here to be safe, and they're believers. They grew up as believers in Pakistan. It's just become a real hostile environment, as many of you know. You've heard the stories, and so let's just pray over them as a body of believers, just that God will lead them in this journey that He's leading them through. For God to open up doors. They're meeting with lawyers and working through all the logistical stuff that needs to take place for them to be here, and we know God is in control, so let's just surrender our hearts to Him right now on behalf of Maria and Awesome, and let's pray. And your little one's Ethan. Name? Ethan. God, I thank You so much for this family that You've brought here and the way You've kept them safe. We pray, God, that as they take these steps and seeking out Your will and Your way in this situation, that You would just carve their path, show them exactly the right steps that You want them to take, put the right people in their pathway, and help them to just be led by You through each of these steps. And God, we thank You for their faithfulness and reaching out to their neighbors and friends in Pakistan, but we know that the safety of the family is important, and You've brought them here to be safe. So we thank You for that. We thank You for the family being here, Heather and Dilshad being here to open their home to care for them during this time. And we pray that You just take care of them. Lead them one step at a time. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right. We're unpaused. Okay. Open your Bibles with me. If you have your handout, there are notes in there for you to follow this morning. I'm going to be throwing a lot at you today, kind of summarizing a lot of what we've been through so far. And we'll be closing this series next week together. Today, the big question is this. Why do we study the Bible? We've laid down this foundation of the Word of God being reliable. We looked at some tests of how historically and through archaeological finds and proofs, they've been able to establish that what we find in the Scriptures to hold water. These aren't just made-up stories by different individuals over time, and we decided to put them together. The Bible was written by over 40 different people over a period of over 1,500 years on three different continents. And from cover to cover, it tells the story of who God is and his plan for this earth and his plan for us as individuals. And today, the question is, do you read it? And if you read it, why? And we're going to kind of dive into some of that this morning. First of all, we need to be reading it. Why? Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is what's called the Great Commission. Jesus was getting ready to leave, and he's left his disciples behind. And he said, I'm leaving you here, and I want you to go out and to make disciples and to do what? And to teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And we can look back and say, well, that was easy for him to tell the disciples. The disciples lived 3 years with Jesus. They had an advantage. They were able to see him, put what he taught into practice. He encouraged them. He showed them how to do it this way and not do it this way. And so they had an advantage. But the truth is they don't really have an advantage, because everything he taught them, we have right here for us today. God's words have been captured that he wants us to learn and wants us to teach others in this book, the Bible. And we need to realize that this is God himself speaking to us. We need to learn it, and we need to let it shape us. So what we need to do is we need to realize that in the same way, I brought this verse up about a month ago, 1 Peter chapter 2, you'll see it up here. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So Peter would basically use the analogy of a child. Every child needs to eat from day one. And an infant, we have some new infants in our church today, some brand new babies, and it's always a special time. But if we don't feed them, they won't make it. It's just that simple. In the same way, we as Christians need to be nourished, and we need some spiritual nourishment, and that it comes from the Word of God. We can't expect any of us to be able to have life, a sustaining life, without the nourishment that we need. And spiritually, that nourishment comes from the Word of God. So the question this morning is, what is the Word of God? Have you ever really stopped to consider what it is? Is it just the words of a few gifted men who were talented enough to record their thoughts in writing and it be preserved? Are we lucky enough to have it today? No, it's much more than that. The Bible is the actual Word of God. And this concept should blow our mind. The strongest thing that we can say about the Bible is that it is actually God's words. When we talk about the Bible, we're actually talking about something that the all-powerful, all-knowing, transcendent God decided to write to us. What could be more important? Think of how you would respond to hearing a voice of heaven speaking directly to you. If you're driving while you're commuting and all of a sudden you heard,
hello, this is God. That didn't really work without the microphone. Hello, this is God.
Imagine if you heard that. You'd freak out, wouldn't you? You'd probably pay a special attention to whatever the following words were. We need to take that same kind of reverence when we go to the Word of God, because it is the same thing. It is God's Word speaking to us. And we have to come to realize that. God wants to speak to us as we live our life day by day. If we came to a place in life where we really believe that this was the Word of God, then it should be much more than just a book we're familiar with. It ought to shape every aspect of our life and guide every decision that we make. Is the Bible that in your life? The truth of the matter, if we're like most Americans, that's not realistic for us. You know, if we get a coffee mug verse here every once in a while, you know, those, like, God takes care of those who take care of themselves. You know, that's not even in the Bible. But it's those kind, that's what we think of when we think of those little sayings that we can treasure and hold on to. But God wants much more than us just to hear little pithy sayings. He wants us consuming his word so that it can then consume us. If God is the designer and the creator of this world, and I believe he is, if he made us and placed us here on this earth, and I believe that he did, if he has taken the time to tell us who he is, who we are, and all the ways that this world is supposed to function, then what could be more important than the Bible? My hope and prayer today is that you would come to this place in your journey with God. I want you to think about your heart right now, not of it being an organ and pumping blood. I want you to think of your motives, your desire in life, your passions. I want you to think about the reasons why you read the Bible when you do. Some of you have routines. I've heard stories and testimonies from you. I don't know if Norman's here today, but Norman posted on Facebook about a month ago. He said, actually, it was quite a while ago. It was January 1st, I think he posted it. That is a while ago. He said, finished. I read the Bible. 10 minutes a day is all it took. And he was able to get through the whole Bible in one day. Ashley Ely, is she here today? Ashley Ely was a student of mine years ago at a church I worked for, Christ our Lord Church. Pastor George and his wife Linda are here visiting with us. Thanks for being here today. When I was serving with George, Ashley was one of the students in our youth group, and she heard me give a talk one day on how we need to be in God's Word. And she decided to fast the entire school year, her lunch period, and to, instead of eating lunch, read the Bible. And she, about halfway through the school year, she finished the Bible. And I didn't even know she was doing this. She came up to me and she started asking me questions like on periodic Sundays, like, what does this mean? And all of a sudden I started to put together, how are you getting this? I didn't teach on that. She was like, you challenged us to read the Bible. Didn't you think I'd take the challenge? She did. And my encouragement is that we begin to develop an appetite to crave God's word and to start to live by letting it live through us. We need to learn it. We need to learn to approach it with the right motives. On your sheet there, I've kind of written down three reasons why many people read the Bible. I want to kind of go through those. Okay, let's start with this. I want to help us think through, first of all, the nature of the Bible. We kind of covered that some already. The Bible is God's word to us. It is literally God speaking to us. I want us to think about why it's important for us to study and then how it should transform our lives. But I want us to take it a step further and to ask ourselves why we study the Bible. Why do you study the Bible? Think about that in your own mind. When you read the Bible, is it because it's out of guilt? You know, I am a Christian. I guess I should read it every once in a while. Is that why you read the Bible, out of guilt? Do you read it because you have a desire to know God more fully? When you go to the Bible, are you looking for arguments against other perspectives? Or are you looking for material to prepare you to teach the next study or a lesson? Some of you are community group leaders. Some of you teach Bible studies at your places of employment or on a rotation for teaching our children. When you go to the Bible, is it simply to find nuggets to be able to pass on to somebody else? What is the reason that you go to the Word of God? Think about that and ask God. God, show me. Why am I in your word? The fact of the matter is that most of us, we go out of one of those three reasons. We either go to the Bible out of guilt or because we are trying to develop some kind of status. We want to show that we know enough. Or we're trying to get teaching material for the next lesson. Let's dive into these a little bit more fully. First of all, guilt. Guilt is a powerful motivator. How many of you have ever done something out of guilt? Guilt's inspired you or motivated you or kicked you in the butt until you did it. Yeah, a lot of guilt is a powerful motivator. And so is it okay to feel guilty about not reading the Bible? Well, I want to be careful with that. Because if all we're doing is going to the Bible out of guilt, then it becomes a habit, a routine, and it isn't necessarily something we're doing because we're in a relationship that is built on love and built on God pouring himself into us. It's just one of those things that Christians are told that they're supposed to do. It kind of gets chalked up with attending church or tithing or not swearing. It's just one of the things we're supposed to do. But if we're not careful, guilt will become legalism. And we end up setting up standards and rules over our life where if we're not reading X amount of chapters a day, then we're not measuring up to what God really wants from us. When God never set that in place to begin with. Yes, it's very important we should desire to be in God's word regularly and often, and if at all possible, each and every day. But that is something that should come out of our longing and our desire and not some guilt that's been placed over us. This guilt that becomes legalism will then shift to judgmentalism. And what happens is in us is we get to a place where we develop some certain habits and routines where we're reading the Bible and we look at other Christians and we're like, why aren't you doing what I'm doing? You know, if you really were following God and as passionate about following God as I am, you would be reading just as much as I am. And we start casting what we feel like God wants us to do for ourselves onto others, and we start becoming judgmental. And we develop a culture where good Christians read their Bible not because they want to or they have a love for it, because they're afraid not to. And where bad Christians feel guilty about not meeting their Bible reading quotas. We need to avoid that. Guilt should never be the reason why we go to Scripture. The next area is status. And to be honest, a lot of us have had certain people in our life who we kind of admire and respect. We know if they walk into a room at any given moment, they're going to have a word from God for us. Into any situation, they're going to speak life into it because they know exactly the verse and the chapter to quote for any particular given situation. And that is great. And we should all aspire to be able to know the Word of God deeply and to have it on the tip of our tongues. But what if that becomes the motive and the reason why you read the Scriptures, so that you can at any moment quote off something and be able to speak into other people's lives and to show yourself as more spiritual and better than others, then something's wrong. I went to Liberty University, and if you don't know, it's a little school in Virginia known as kind of like a Christian school. And I went there, and I remember having this roommate of mine, and we went to one of the first chapel services, and the speaker got up, and he said, okay, well, today we're going to talk about David Goliath. And so immediately I turned to 1 Samuel 17. Now I'm doubting myself if that's the correct place, but I turned to whatever the correct place was, and I think it is 1 Samuel 17. And I turned there, and I'm sitting there ready for him to start reading, and my roommate looks over, and he said, how did you know that's where it was? And I didn't even think about it. It's just through, you know, I grew up in a Christian family, and we often read Old Testament stories together and bits of the Bible together as family, and I just knew were certain, especially the big ones, David and Goliath. How many have heard the story of David and Goliath? Most of us, right? And so I knew where that was. And so throughout the year, though, every time we were together, I was like hoping that I could find the passage of Scripture before him so that I could like, yeah, I'm the Bible answer man, okay? Hank Hennegraaff, get out of the way, you know? I wanted to be able to prove to this guy that I had what it took, and it made myself feel prideful. Where does God get glory in our pride? I mean, it's like an oxymoron. Competition is a great motivator, but it's a terrible reason for us to go and study the Word of God. And we need to look at this, and we should all aspire to know God's Word inside and out, like I've said, so that in any moment we can know where certain parts of the Scripture are. And yes, it takes time, it takes work, and the Bible says, study to show yourselves as approved workmen, not ashamed. But if that is your reason and your motive behind why you study the Scripture, so that you can be the spiritual go-to guy, then something's missing. Too often Christians are motivated by status and pride, when we should be motivated by a desire to know God more intimately, to be changed by His Word, and to love and serve the people around us. God cares more about how we let His Word shape us than how many verses we can quote from memory or how many sword drills we have won. Does the Word of God change you? Does it shape you? Does it make your heart beat for the things of God? The third area is teaching material. How many of you have taught the Bible to somebody else, either in a VBS or a children's class or a Bible study? Okay, a good number of you. And to be honest, as a pastor, this is consuming. Let's face it, 42 weeks a year, when TJ or Andrew or somebody else isn't up here teaching, I got to be in this Word studying it to be able to know what I'm saying to you. But if that's the only time I'm going to Scripture, is to be able to say, okay, God, give me something I can tell them, instead of finding time to say, God, what do you need to say to me? Then I'm missing something. And so we need to take the Word of God and say, God, and I've had to force myself at times to completely avoid, like a year ago or so, we did a study through Galatians, one of my favorite books in the Bible. I almost, in my own private time, had to avoid Galatians, because every time I went there, I was like, ooh, they need to hear this. Ooh, yeah, that they need to hear that. Instead of really saying, God, what do you want me to hear? And so I had to force myself into some rhythms and routines of avoiding certain, when I really want to hear from God, I got to stay out of what I'm teaching you and just go to a completely different area of the Bible and just say, God, help me to empty my mind of what I've been preparing, and let me just hear from you. Speak to me through your word. And so when we look at the scripture, we need to ask ourselves, do we go there to find nuggets for others, or do we go there looking for ways that it can transform us? Which of these motives do you find yourself falling into? Do you go to the word when you do out of guilt? Is it status? Is it to teach, to be able to have enough material to bring to the next gathering where you're going to be diving into the study with somebody else? If one of those three reasons are the main reason, then I encourage you to set those aside and pray today, God, help me to love your word so that I can come to it for my own personal nourishment so that it can change me. If you don't already love the Bible, I pray that today you would ask God to help you to start to love the Bible. God, help me to love your word. So let's go a little bit deeper. So why did God teach us or give us the Bible? Why do we have it? I'm going to give us a handful of reasons. You can see them there in your notes. We'll kind of go through them quickly because of time this morning. But these are important things that we need to get. Sometimes we don't realize why we have the Bible. A lot of us as Christians think of the Bible, oh, that's the Holy Bible. It's God's word. That's why we have it. But we don't realize what all is really covered and why we need it. And so I want to encourage you today to grab hold of the things I'm going to share with you in a minute, and then to take it a little deeper. A lot of what I'm sharing with you today comes from this book. This is the Spanish version, by the way, Multiply. And this book is going to be a great tool available in our lot of community groups. And chapters like 3 through 6 cover a lot of how to study the Bible more deeply. And we're going to have a couple classes on how to get deeper into the Word of God, how to study it, how to break it down. How many were here last week when Andrew put up the verse with all the circles and highlights and cross and we're going to teach you how to dissect the Bible to get deeper. But you don't have to know that to start reading. And I encourage you just to start reading the Bible, start letting God's Word get into you. And here are the reasons why. Ready? Number one. First of all, God gave us the Bible to teach us about himself. From the beginning to the end, the Bible is focused on God. God is the subject of the scriptures. In Genesis, it begins with God alone as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, speaking everything into existence. And by Revelation, it ends with that same God reigning supremely over everything. Every book in between Genesis and Revelations reveals to us more about who God is, his character, his attributes, and it's all done through a narrative story showing us his sovereign actions throughout all of history. God in heaven wants us to know certain things about himself, and he uses the scriptures to reveal these things. As human beings, we are naturally a selfish people. And even for those of us who don't consider us so selfish, a lot of times when we go through life, we think about what's going to be best for me. And a lot of times we ease into this self-centered, human-centered world. But God gave us the Bible to show us that everything in the world is about him and revolves around him and is about us being a part of what he is doing in this world and establishing his kingdom. He is the first and the last, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is described as holy, and we are so not. And we need to realize this as we learn about, as we allow ourselves to get into the Word of God, we learn more of who God is. It is through the Bible that we learn about God's power, his justice. We learn about his mercy, and we learn about his wrath. We learn about his love, his kindness, his anger, and his faithfulness. We learn of how he's a jealous God, desiring us and wanting our love. We learn about his holiness and his compassion and so on. Because God is already described in the Bible, we are left with no room to formulate who God is by our own opinions. We should look to the Bible to understand who God is. Many religions exist today because we have done just the opposite of what God intended. We have decided that God's got to be this way and not this way. And instead of going to the scriptures and learning about God, some leaders have gone to the scriptures and said, I don't think that jives up with other parts I've read about God. Let's cut that part out. And so we have Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness. Mormons believe that God was a God of another who was a man on another planet. He was such a good man that a Godhead made him a God of our universe. God of our universe came here and he brought a lot of wives with him from his old planet, and they had spirit babies, and then they made an earth. And one of their spirit babies was a guy named Jesus, and another spirit baby was a guy named Satan. And God said, out of you two, which one of you have a good plan for populating the earth? Jesus' plan won out, and so they went with Jesus' plan, and Satan was kicked out of earth and sent to earth. And up until the 50s, the Mormons taught that all people possessed by Satan and angels were black people. And if you go to the Mormon Bible and see that today, it won't be there because they changed it. Mormonism was a way of going to the Bible and saying, God, we don't want to learn about you. We want to. Joseph Smith, by the way, did this on his own. He went to the scriptures and said, I don't like that. I like this. I want a lot of wives. I'll change this. And he changed the Bible and made it what he wanted it to be, instead of letting the Bible change him and tell him about God. And we'll fall into that same danger if we go down that road. If we go to the scriptures trying to find our own agenda and support for our own way of thinking instead of letting it shape us, we've got it backwards. The next area is that God gave us the Bible to teach us about ourselves, the world, and the world we live in. God gave us this Bible to show us where we came from, why the world is the way it is, and where everything is headed, and explains who we are as human beings so that we can think about our existence. For many of us, we think of the Bible as helpful for answering religious questions and giving us a good set of do's and don'ts in life, teaching us how to live godly lives. But a lot of us as Christians doubt that the scripture has anything really good to say about the important things in life, like philosophy, science, or sociology. This is absolutely the farthest from the truth. The Bible gives us the answers to all of life's most important questions. It gives us much more than just religious truths. It actually explains the world and how we should live in it. The God who wrote the Bible is the God who made this world. And therefore, it makes sense for us to view our world from his perspective and live according to his principles. As we study the Bible, we should seek to ask God how we can change our world, how we can have ourselves changed, rather than trying to conjure up some kind of emotional experience and trying to add up just piles and piles to the knowledge that we can acquire. But instead, when we go to God's word, we should learn how God wants to change us and make us more like himself. The next area is he gave us the word of God to enable us to live godly lives. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he said, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Simply put, through the knowledge of God, we gain everything we need to learn how to live godly lives. Whether our motives are to learn more about God or learn more about our world, the most important reason that we should go to the Word of God is to learn how we can live the way God has called us to live. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete. And what? Equipped for what? Every good work. God gave us the word so that we could be what he wants us to be. And how can we expect to become it if we're never in it? Or again, more importantly, never letting it get into us. This is what is meant by the author who wrote Hebrews chapter 4:12, when he said this, that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. We think that the Bible is something that we should read to gain more knowledge, when in all actuality, we have it backwards. And the Bible should be something that reads us and exposes where we are in our walk with God, so that we can become more of who He wants us to be. If you've ever found yourself being in a habit or a routine of reading the Bible and you don't see yourself changing, then something's wrong. We need to look at it as this is our way to approach the mind of God and allow Him to speak into our lives and make us the people that He's called us to be. The next area is God gave us the scripture to facilitate a relationship with God. God wants us to know Him, and He gave us the scripture so that we can. Every relationship requires communication. How many of you have not talked to the person you're closest to the past week and things are going well? Probably not. In order for things to go well in our lives, we have to communicate. We have to be sharing with one another. And it isn't us just talking to them. We've got to take time to listen as well. God's word is the way that we can listen and hear from Him. And we've got to allow the relationship to go deeper, to the place where we're sharing the loving expression of our thoughts, of our emotions, of our concerns, of our dreams. And these develop intimacy between us and God. Communication is important with us as individuals. Why would we think it'd be any different than us with God? The Bible is God's means of sharing His thoughts and desires with us. We are relational beings because He created us this way. From the day He placed Adam on this earth, God has maintained His relationship with mankind. And when we open the Bible, we are enabling ourselves to engage in God's communication to us. So, we need to be in it. The next area is God gave us the Bible to exalt Jesus. God uses the scriptures to describe how and why He exalted Jesus to the highest place. All of the events throughout biblical history point to His Son. We went through different parts of the Bible, and we'll go through them more in some of our classes. But there are different parts of the Bible, but all of them point to Jesus. The Old Testament law was given to show us of our sinfulness and our need for Jesus. The Old Testament priests and sacrifices point to our need for a greater high priest and an ultimate sacrifice. The Gospels record the loving words and actions of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. The epistles explain how it is only through Christ's work on the cross that we can be saved from our sin and filled with the Spirit. The Revelation shows how He will one day return to judge and restore the earth and reign with His followers forever. All of this was written to exalt Jesus to the glory of God the Father. And these words should allow us to exalt Jesus in our everyday lives. One of the last areas that I want to share with you today is God gave us His word to prepare us for our God-given mission. From the very beginning, God put Adam on the earth and said, I want you to care for the earth. I want you to rule over it and to take care of it. And then eventually sin came into the world and He rose up a guy named Abraham. And He said, I am going to use you to bless the nations. And it was God's plan from the beginning that, yes, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. For what reason? So that you will be a blessing to others. And that is why God blesses each and every one of us. Not so that we can be isolated and enjoy God's blessings on our own, but so that we can then pour out those blessings and bless others. In the New Testament, the missions of God's purpose is made even more clear. We're not on this earth merely to enjoy our own personal relationship with God. We are here to be God's servants and His ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making His appeal through us. That is why we're going to close these doors and go out in a couple weeks and love on others by giving them things that they need. Because we are sent to be sent to love on others, to be our ambassadors, to take the truth of God in action to others. we are called to help people be reconciled to God. Throughout Christian history, we have many times looked at the Bible as ways to as a self-help book, as to make ourselves better. But the truth is that God wants us to use the Bible to make his kingdom better. He wants us to allow the Bible to get into us so that we can be used to shape the world around us and help people come to know how much he loves them. We need to realize that this is God's word. Ultimately, when we read the Bible, we are approaching the mind of God. And we need to come at this in an attitude of humility. When we read the Bible with humility, this means that we're not assuming the role of, I know this and I'm searching for a place to prove it, but instead we come to the Bible saying, God, I don't know anything and I want you to teach me. We come to God looking for answers, not looking for the Bible to prove our beliefs and our agendas and our ways. So what is your motive? Today, I shared with you a couple motives, and I want you to think about why you read the Bible when you do. Really, the first question is, do you read the Bible? And my hope is that as you come to realize how much God loves us and how this, even though it's really thick, this is the most wonderful love letter any of us could have ever received. And if we want to get to know God, we've got to get to know his word. And we've got to let his word get into us. I want to encourage you with these last words. I want to ask you, when we come to the Bible, will you try to find a time to set aside an agenda and to not come with your own thoughts, but instead look for ways in which God can teach you and change you to become more like the person he wants you to be? 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, and like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Some of you have been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years. But until we're one day reunited with Christ in heaven, we still have growing to do. And in order for us to become who God really wants us to be, we've got to be letting the word get into our lives. And we should be coming to it, letting it change us and continually shape us into the people God has called us to be. There are many people in this world that are religious and that give up everything to follow the God they believe in. We believe in the God of the Bible. And through the series, I've tried to give you reasons why this word stands alone. There's no other religious book or writing that compares. And yet, sometimes we just neglect it and walk away from it. I want you to see this, and hopefully this will inspire you a little further.
Am I a Christian because it's cool?
I'll take care of myself.
Why can't my feelings be part of my life?
I can handle it.
Why don't I know anything about Christ?
Why don't I know?
Have I just joined a trend?
Is my faith tied up in a marketing scheme?
God doesn't work like he used to.
Adults don't do what they say.
If God knows my future, why won't he tell me?
One God, many religions. To get there, right?
Prayer is just communication, so why is it important?
Why don't I know?
Why don't I know?
I'm better off if I take care of things myself.
Why don't I know?
Christ seems like a waste of time.
Jesus doesn't help me now.
Why don't I know?
I only care about what happens to me.
There's nothing wrong with what I do.
Why don't I know?
Why don't I know?
Why don't I know?
Why don't I know?
The last thing I can do is just read my Bible.
Of course I'm a Christian.
I'm sold out. So what now?
Why don't I know?
I want to tell you about an article I read recently in Newsweek magazine. This article talked about Muslim students in Afghanistan who go to schools in Afghanistan at the age of 5 or 6 years old. And there they begin a process whereby by the age of 13 or 14, they memorize the entire Quran, the Muslim holy book. Not only do they memorize it, these students come to these schools and they speak different languages, the Urdu or the Pashto language. They come to these schools and they memorize the Quran in Arabic because that's the original language it was written in. And I want you to imagine with me for a second what it would take for a church to say, well, we're going to start memorizing the New Testament. And not just memorize the New Testament, we're going to memorize it in Greek. So you do a process for over years. You memorize the New Testament in Greek. Then when you finish that, then the task really begins and you say, now we've got the Old Testament in Hebrew. And you say, well, David, that is preposterous. Obviously, we would never do that. We wouldn't even do that in English. Well, I think we need to ask the question this morning, if those people are that committed to learning the words of a false God, then what does that say about you and I in this room that have the words of the one and only true God?
Let's pray. My hope, my prayer is not to spin you up into some kind of emotional decision, because emotions will come and go. My hope and my prayer today is that simply you'll come to realize that God is real. And the Bible is His word to us. My hope and my prayer is that we would develop a desire and an appetite to really begin to want to know who God really is. And the way that we do that is by getting into His word and letting His word get into us. And my hope and prayer this morning is that you would be renewed. If you've begun this journey with Christ and you've been, you know, saved as a believer, you have put your faith in Christ, but you just have had a hard time struggling and developing a habit of getting into His word. I'm not trying to appeal to you so that you would feel guilty or motivated for some wrong motive, but simply for the fact of knowing that God loves you. And then my hope is that as you come to realize how much God loves you, you would fall more in love with Him and want to spend time with Him and in His word. So as we close today and as we think about the things that we've heard this morning, my hope and my prayer is that you wouldn't beat yourself up over what you have or haven't done, but today you would say, God, I do love you. And I'm going to commit from this day forward to do what I can to spend time with you. I'm not asking you to say, yes, from here on out, I'm going to read 5 chapters a day. I'm going to spend, you know, 15 minutes every lunch in God's word. If that's what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, then go for it. But let that be personal between you and God. I'm just trying to get you to the place where you're going to say, yes, I know that's God's word and I need to be in it. And you and God work out how often and when and how, but let it happen. God wants to talk to you. He wants to pour into you. And He wants to shape you and give you what you need to live this life. As you take these next few moments to pray and ask God to speak to you about these things, we're also going to invite you to take part in remembering what this is all about. And it was about Jesus Himself coming and dying on a cross for us. He came and His body was broken for us. And as the scriptures tell us, we are to take this bread together as a community. And we're to remember that His body was broken for us as we eat it. We also have a cup of juice here, and we invite you to take that piece of bread and to dip it in the cup as a symbol of the blood of Christ shed for us, to pay for our sins and to forgive us of the things in our life. And as we eat of that body and drink of His blood, let us remember that Christ died for us to save us of our sins. So this morning as we close, I invite you to pray about those things. I invite you to say, okay, God, let's get real. I commit to you to do these things. I ask for your help to spend more time in your word, to take some steps to make your word a regular part of my life. I also remember what you've done for me by dying for me on a cross. But I would be falling short if I left it there. Some of you in this room may never have even started a relationship with Christ. And if today you were at a place where you're ready to say, you know what, I don't know if I've ever really fully believed this, and today I want to give my heart to God, and I want God to come into my life. I want Him to show me who He is. I want to ask God for forgiveness in my life, and I want to be made new. And today, you can do that at this time. Just say those words to him in your heart. God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. And if that's you today, during our time of worship and response, I ask you just come up front and let me know. I'd love to pray with you. We also have prayer teams that will be in the back behind the tables where we had sign-ups. If there's anything you'd like to have someone pray with you about, they'll be there. God, I pray that you move as we take this time to listen to you. Help us to respond as you lead us. In your name we pray. Amen. Respond as you feel led.